Hi, it's Eric. Welcome to another podcast. We have a lot to get to tonight. Some friends from Downtown 419, some familiar voices. Dennis E. Sawan, our legal friend, will be here to talk about. He's going to hit us with red light stuff because that's breaking news. But I also have some bed bugs questions for him. We've got to talk about downtown outdoor refreshment area, Dora, and those hours being extended. And Downtown 419, Dennis and Danny Woodcock, part of that group, are having a party at the Imagination Station next Friday night. What's going on with that, and how can you have a party at the Imagination Station? And yes, with drinking. There's a drinking and hors d'oeuvres and art event that you might have heard me mention a couple of times tomorrow night, Thursday night. For TSA. It grabbed my attention because I want to help TSA out. I think it's a great thing for our community. Bethany has been an avid fan and supporter of all things around what's happening right now, this thing coming out of your device. And then I read through the event. I was like, this is freaking cool. Instead of me butchering what's actually going down, even though I can figure it out, I want Bethany to talk about it. So we're going to have Bethany on. And my interview the other day didn't go well, walked into it. And whether I set that vibe, because I don't think I was going to take that job, it didn't pay enough for the hours that would be required and would take me away from a lot of my other community advocacy and radio and increasing radio station responsibilities. But I did want to meet with these people and get to know them because I work so closely with my friends here of NAMI Greater Toledo. So I wish the best to whoever does get that job and to that organization as well. You're not going to connect with everybody. Good people can come together all the time. I love connecting good people. I had coffee with a friend of mine tonight, Janet Miller. And I have to connect her with some friends. I love putting people together. But just because good people are good people, A people is good, B people is good, doesn't mean they're going to connect. Doesn't mean they're going to jive. I believe in chemistry and doing radio shows and in working environments. Chemistry is almost always give me chemistry over talent. So, last thing, there is a show that I'll be doing beginning next week, The Night Show, here on Q105. You'll be able to hear me every single weeknight from 7 to midnight. We'll count down songs. I think we can do a new music feature. We're going to brainstorm on this more tomorrow, but lots of some familiar things, some shortened things. It's going to be a music show. We're going to play, you know, how many ever songs per hour. It's going to be a music show like you hear me on the weekends on Q105. And then all the long form stuff is going to be on the podcast. So you get to hear more of me. You'll get to hear me if you miss something on the podcast. Tune in to Q105 between 7 and midnight, and I'll be like, hey, on the podcast that we just recorded with Bethany Urbanski from TSA, she's got an event you've got to come to. Now here's Ariana Grande, which I love that new song. You ready? Let's go. Oh, it's like old times. I'm recording on a Wednesday night, a little after 6 o'clock. It's good to have you here on the podcast. Thanks for finding us. Just search Eric Chase where you get your podcast. It's not the, you can't hear it anyway, but it's not your Law & Order remix music, but it's good to have you here, Dennis.
Hey,
Sawan.
What's going on, man?
Also, downtown resident, social media extraordinaire, Danny Woodcock is here.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, anytime. Downtown 419, there's a party coming up. We'll get to that. That's the fun thing. We'll wrap up with that. Okay.
Sure.
But when Dennis is here, we always have a couple of legal things to get to. And we'll start, if we could, we'll go to the red light, because that ties into the free parking maybe going away downtown. Danny, is he still a downtown resident?
No.
Hey, I think technically I qualify.
He lives on the river.
Yeah, where did you move to? Like, can you explain where this
is? Don't worry
is?
About it, Eric.
Really? Is it some like secret underground bond?
Yeah, I can't divulge that, man.
Okay, because I went down that side the river and I saw something. I was like, Dennis lives there.
I live on the river. That's all. We'll leave it there.
Downtown residents, there was a story today that from, I guess, 11 to 2, where lunchtime free parking might go away. Mm-hmm. You work downtown. Danny, you live downtown. You're downtown all the time. Yep. Any thoughts on this?
I'm in.
You're in? Yep. You want it to go away?
No. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm in. I mean, it's a buck or two to pay for parking at lunch.
Right.
It's really not a big deal. I certainly think our roads could use a little more love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that the key here, and one of the best parts, is that they're actually going to segregate that money specifically for the benefit
of downtown. Don't say segregate. That's terrible. Use another word.
Well, you can't use the word at all? Well, all right, fine. They're gonna partition it. Is that better?
How about appropriate?
Appropriate partition?
Yes.
For specifically for downtown purposes. So I think that's nice that it's not just going to the city, you know, at large,
right,
but it's going specifically to downtown. I think that is a benefit.
Hashtag me too. I agree with Dennis.
me too, Rhodes. I hope this doesn't... I just saw the story today, and I hope this doesn't mushroom into a huge issue because there are larger fish to fry with downtown and figuring some things out. It's a buck, like you
said. I mean, undeniably, it will get some public pushback because change is tough.
Yeah.
But, like, Toledo, for all that it's worth, is a city. And, like, when you go downtown, you expect to pay for downtown parking.
Yeah.
I think it's a luxury. Living downtown, I often see people paying for parking during that time anyway.
Mm-hmm. And do most of the meters have... Are they connected to the app where you can
every
pay?
Every single one of them.
Okay. Because I had to go to the courthouse, I think. Remember when I had...
Oh, yeah, Eric?
I got T-boned in my parking lot, and I had to go to the courthouse.
You say that to me like I know every
story.
Time. You're in court. Like, I heard Eric Chase was in court today.
And I... The app was helpful to pay that way. Like, this is a minor... The first thing I thought was, it's harder to find a space than it is to find the change to pay for it.
Yeah. Agreed.
And also, let's we have to also think about who this is going to affect. We're talking about, 11 to 2 or 11 to 1?
11 to 2.
During the week. So most of the people that work there down there are already down there, and they have their parking all set up in the morning. So this is going to affect people who are coming down pretty much just for the purposes of eating down there. So I can understand some backlash from the people who own restaurants, and I think to some extent, rightfully so. But it's going to affect a pretty small amount of people, I think.
Did you guys go to the the parking meeting at the library a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Or downtown transportation?
I did, yeah.
Yes, yep.
I saw some of the ideas that were kicked around. I have a wild idea.
Okay.
They're not going to build pedestrian bridges over Summit, which would be helpful.
Yeah.
We can't widen the roads. What do you guys think of the idea of another garage?
Where?
Well, there's that. I mean, we do have a lot of...
I don't think Toledo has a parking problem.
Really?
No, not at all. I mean... Walk 3 blocks and you'll be able to find parking no matter where you are. And 3 blocks isn't far.
But things are growing. And granted, it was an anomaly with the Faith Hill and Tim McGraw show. Downtown was
It was popping.
And a lot of it has to do with the construction, which won't last forever.
That's for sure.
So,
but yeah, I think that there's a perception that downtown has a parking problem. And for people who don't come down very frequently, they get easily annoyed when they don't know where to look. But if you know sort of the areas, then you can figure out where to park. But I do think a parking garage would make one more parking garage would make some sense.
And what my idea is, because we can't widen the streets, we could conceivably not have parking on these streets and not lose the revenue because you'd have to pay to get into the garage.
Right.
Or take the bus downtown. I'm just saying.
Or bike.
Okay.
Walk.
Glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Tarta in Sylvania and Perrysburg.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
What about it?
Should that happen? Would you be in favor
of it? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think TARDA's going to do some really, really great things in the upcoming years. I just came from a reception where we were displaying an autonomous bus shuttle that's in TARDA's strategic plan for a downtown loop. So I think there's a lot of benefits to TARDA, more so than just the accessibility that it creates for all of the communities to come together. But
I'm all in since I read an article a couple of years ago that kind of decried... ride sharing like Uber and Lyft because while it's convenient, it often creates more traffic, more people on the road. And if you throw 30 people on a bus as opposed to 30 cars, a little less traffic
for sure.
and all the environmental things as well.
Yep.
The other big change we'll see is I think with density of residential offerings, then people will live closer to downtown and then not have to drive as much. So that I think over time will help alleviate some of these problems.
And I'm a crazy person, so I think cars will very soon just drive themselves and we won't have to park them anywhere. So I see parking garages as a poor investment because hypothetically in 5 years, if some of these cars do drive themselves, I won't need to park it there. And by the time this parking garage gets built, you know, it's 5 years later.
You can hit the button on your phone and your car will come pick you up.
Yes. That will happen.
I saw that Opal was at WWE last night, our rightful mayor.
Your girl,
was
Opal
Cover.
Was
she in the ring?
She was in the ring.
No way, really?
She was.
With a dinosaur?
Laying the smack down? I got to see this
video.
Yeah,
Pixar didn't happen.
Hold on. Yeah. Sit tight. I am going to the phone.
How did I miss this?
Because I only saw one dude catch a picture of this.
Was she doing her spells up there?
I don't
know. Hubba-blue,
ladder match? Cage match?
And then Wade came out from the back.
All right, so I know this doesn't resonate on... Oh, that would be so awesome. My point with Opal
with
was...
With the steel chair.
I'm down for her amusement park downtown. It keeps revenue here as opposed to Sandusky. But anyway.
We digress.
Imagine roller coastering from the top of the ProMedica building to the docks.
That's not happening? I thought that was just happening.
So this obviously doesn't work visually, but just to hear your reaction, it will be great. Go ahead, you can take my phone.
Oh my gosh.
She is in the ring.
This is a real thing.
Yes.
Oh, please tell me that she did something like slam that guy
down.
Why wouldn't you?
I need to see this video. In a real way.
It doesn't look like photoshopped, right?
I can't tell.
You're a lawyer. Come on.
Well, that's all the more reason Danny for me to be skeptical.
Does it look legit?
No, it does not look
legit.
It
doesn't?
I got to say, this looks photoshopped.
Okay.
The jury's out, but...
But for WWE to not invite her.
Let's just assume it is real, because if that really happened, that'd be fantastic.
I mean, she does mill around big events. Like, yeah. When Trump spoke at the Huntington Center, she was there. So she was there,
but she wasn't on stage or in the ring.
No, but people knew she was there.
Yeah.
So more driving stuff. You're like the red light plague. Like, every time we catch up, there's another red light issue.
I don't cause the plague.
I know.
All right, so everyone hates red light camera tickets. I think we've all gotten at least one, right?
This month.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Danny just factored into your
rent. I feel like I am personally paying for all of Toledo's roads with my tickets.
Thank you.
So we've talked about this for, God, I don't know, 2 years probably at least.
The
saga continues, but everyone hated these things when they first started. Everyone kept getting these tickets. They wanted something done. They put a lot of pressure on the state legislature to do something about it. So they tried to do something about it, and they tried to make it really hard to run these programs. They would require an officer at every location. They would require like a 3-year traffic study before you could even use one. And because of how cumbersome the state was trying to make it, they essentially were saying, look, you can't really do this. It's not going to make any sense for you. City sued. I think it was the city of Dayton maybe sued first, and the court said, yeah, you know what, you're right, you guys get to run your program how you want. Everything that this state is trying to do to make this more difficult, it's not constitutional, etc. Fast forward, a reaction to that was, all right, fine, guys, if this isn't about money, we're going to take the money away for every ticket you write, whether you collect the money from that ticket or not.
So here's
where it gets interesting.
Because a lot of people wouldn't pay these, right?
Yeah, I think their payment is something. Well, so if you don't pay one of these tickets, it goes to, it gets reduced to a civil judgment. You can be sued for it. It can go on your credit report. They will call you,
right?
Like all the other annoying debts that may exist in the world. But they probably only are recovering, I don't know, something like 60-70% of the money that they're billing. So what happens is, like, for example, this year, they're anticipating making something like $2 million off this program. Now, if they write $2 million
worth
of tickets.
Danny. Where have you gotten most of these?
$475 and $75.
Me
that's
too.
That's a bad one.
Wait.
This dice sits behind the construction zone and like.
And it goes 60 to 50.
You know, I don't know much about the law, but it seems like a cop shouldn't be allowed
to. It's a gotcha. That's a gotcha point.
And he's like parked in the construction zone, just gunning people.
It's gotcha.
And it is a little trapped. It's like, that should not be 50 miles an hour.
But whatever. I looked in my rear view and I thought for sure I was getting two in a week, and knock on wood, which is like nothing for Danny, I didn't get them.
Well,
because I think everybody now knows about the dude who stands on the ProMedica Parkway one.
Oh yeah. So anyways, the new rule.
Hold on, time out. Those count as well in red light cameras, right?
We're all talking the same thing. Yeah, it's just camera enforcement of traffic laws generally.
Right.
So the new rule is fine. And this actually just came out today. Cities, if this isn't about money, then, you know, put up or shut up. We're going to make this rule that says we're taking away all of your state funding for the amount of tickets that you write with these ticket cameras.
Dollar for dollar?
Whether you collect it or not. Now, that's the big part. Because if the city doesn't collect the money, they could actually run a loss in a given year.
So those people that don't pay the tickets, correct?
Mm-hmm. Which means that the city could get more aggressive.
I'm sorry, but what is it about if not money? Like, that guy's not dinging me with a ticket and then following me and letting me know, like, sir, you're driving really fast. It's a little reckless. I need you to slow down.
Yeah.
He's just mailing me a ticket in 2 weeks that lets me know, shoot, 2 weeks ago, I was going too fast.
So, like, governments have a habit of doing, like, can we swear on this?
Yes.
So, governments have a habit of doing shitty things and justifying it based on safety. This has happened in a long list of things that governments have done.
I've told you since I've known you, where I grew up, these cameras were, I was accustomed to them because where I grew up in Philadelphia, Roosevelt Boulevard, there was this one spot where people just got mowed down. Mm-hmm. So there it was for safety, but every time, essentially, here, every time I've brought up the word safety, 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 they've never produced any safety reports, right? Which is bullshit.
I mean, look, they may have some incidental effect on safety, sort of. But I'm with Danny. If they want to stop me from going 110 miles per hour, why did you just take a picture of my license plate and let me keep speeding?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
I saw a photo once of a guy doing like 95 down 75.
Yeah.
If that guy crashes 2 miles down the road, I don't understand how that's not a little bit of negligence for seeing something so wrong, mm-hmm, and having the audacity to take a photo instead and then putting that in the mail later.
Danny, have you fought any of these?
No.
Because if you got, like, I think, Dennis, you remember what mine was?
That yours was some was like sort of weird technicality.
It was,
well,
but it was like 10 or 11 over, right?
I think it was 11.
If I got these two that I was expecting in the 475-75, I was going to go and be like, phew, I am so glad you guys didn't see me when I got up to 105.
Do not do that.
Why? They only caught me at 65 and a 50. Like,
I'm glad you only caught me speeding and you didn't catch the body in my trunk. Okay, great.
No, but the point stands. The first thing you told me was, this doesn't slow anybody down, because what do we do when we get pulled over and we get written a ticket? We're scared shitless to put our foot on the gas for a week.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm a little anxious. I'm very slow driving. Yeah.
Yeah. All
not in this
above.
Case.
So
the takeaway is, the state funding will be pulled away and the city can potentially lose money for people that don't pay the tickets.
Yes. Now, in all fairness, the city says we're going to go challenge the constitutionality of that. They say this is all about safety, that the, you know, law director set thinks twice before he goes through yellow lights because of this system, and that, you know, everyone's going to, you know, the earth's going to, you know, crack in half. And
speaking of Earth, like, what happens? Does this get resolved first, or do we have alien first contact here?
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know. I have no problem with the ones at the red lights. I'm fine with those.
I'm okay with those too. I think the speed ones are just a little too far.
The one that bothers me is when an officer of the law is sitting under a bridge in the shadows on his motorcycle, tucked away, aiming
that one too,
aiming a what looks like a gun at the highway.
Yeah,
like if you're not keen to the situation, you might look over and go, oh, that guy's pointing a gun at me, swerve, and then
that's a pretty good argument.
Are you talking about the one
this happened one time? He was behind a wall instead of behind,
because
they hide
even worse than they normally would,
and
just,
I couldn't tell that it was a cop car. I just see a car up there and a guy with a, you know, the radar gun mounted on his shoulder, and I was like, oh my god.
And if we're being honest, like, the better deterrent effect for speeding would literally be to just park an unmanned police car in the median.
They do. There
That's
was
it.
The one of these. It's you. It's been a bike cop, but I think I've seen a car too. Or it's easier to see the bike cop when you get past the Pro Medic on 475 West and Douglas. It's a little easier to see that dude. And yeah, everybody slows down, and then at least
it's a little dangerous.
Him being there.
No, everyone's seeing that and hitting their brakes.
Oh yeah.
I'm in favor of what Michigan's doing, where they're actually raising their speed limit from 70 in some places to 75.
You have to up there.
It's been a long time since our speed limits reflected the advances we've had in technology.
The 60 to 50 is on 75 to go for,
right out of downtown.
Is a gotcha.
Yep.
And there are no, I don't think there's incidents there. I know they're doing construction there, but up like where Jeep Parkway is, that is like the coffin corner of traffic accidents.
That's pretty bad.
Slow people down there somehow. I think it was within the last week, you guys know my landlord, Kathy Steingraver?
No.
I know of her.
Okay, she was coming downtown. She said she saw some horrific accident. This was late last week. And she said she saw a body. And no one was attending to it. So this person was clearly very, very dead. And I think it was in that area.
That's a rough area. I've seen a lot of horrible stuff happen there, so everyone be careful there.
It's horrific. It's two lanes. It's tight. There's a lot of semis that go through there.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. So if they could just finish the construction, that'd be great.
That was good.
But
Dennis came to tell jokes.
Won't matter because cars will drive themselves.
Yes. By the way, for the previous reference, autonomous, for those that don't know, that means they drive themselves. Sometimes we need to do definitions on the show. You have Dora stuff too?
I mean, just minimally. Dora was extended out. Well, actually it's it is Dora. So first of all, downtown, let's specify what these two things are. Right? There's a Dora and an Aura.
Aura. Adams Outdoor Refreshment Area.
Adams Outdoor? Aura. This is O-R-A.
No.
I'm going
to
call
it. We have so many, we have to be specific.
So there's two different ones. They're separated by three blocks.
Yeah. Roughly. Like the library and the courthouse.
Basically the library and courthouse. And so you really couldn't travel from one to the other.
Legally.
Right.
But I'm not sure whether the Adams Street one
I can say do it.
And the downtown one extended their hours till one till
I think just Dora, as far as I read.
That's how I read it too.
One single article.
Well, it was like 12 to 11 before? 12 to midnight?
I think it was till midnight.
Yeah, 12. Okay. 12.
So they're extending it by an hour.
One. Yeah.
Silly. Nobody acted like a fuckface. So
I think that's right.
There hadn't been any problems, right?
Not really. No, I don't know. It's not. I don't think it's. I imagine what they would have thought was that people were going to act like drunk idiots, but the reality is people act like drunk idiots no matter what. So it doesn't
exactly
really matter.
Right. And if you are a drunk idiot, the last thing you want to do is spill any more of your alcohol.
Right. What we need down there now is some hot dog vendors late at night, so when you're walking out of the bar with your drink, you can have something nice and warm to eat on the way home.
There was a guy that was outside of M. Osteria for quite some time. Is he still there?
I haven't seen him in a while. If he listens to the show, probably does. I would like to have you back, sir.
You should if he does.
There's ice cream at Home Slice now. Ice cream out the window.
I'm not trying to eat ice cream when I'm drinking.
I know,
but
I know.
The pizza, sign me up.
I know. Or maybe...
They serve late. Home Slice is the real MVP downtown late night.
We're talking about a window of pizza to the street?
Yep.
Really?
You didn't know this?
I knew it was happening. I
didn't
know when it was happening.
You don't live downtown anymore, man.
Where are you, in like Wazion? they're going to serve it out the window.
I didn't specify which river I live on.
It's the Nile.
What else? So, because you're right, and I haven't given this thought for a while, but we do need that spot or Danny's autonomous vehicle to take us over to Taco Bell.
I'm not in charge of that. It's a lot of liability.
Do you think that autonomous vehicles will have separate roads or segregated lanes? I'm using segregated on purpose.
They may have bus lanes like we do now for our buses.
I just wonder how well those are going to mix together, you know?
You'll see soon.
I heard a great podcast about this from some Silicon Valley people, and I had never really bought into the idea until I heard their words about it.
Buy in or get the F out, Eric. I'm sorry.
I've not been anti. I've just been right down the middle.
You know what I wonder is, like, first of all, this has happened before, but how about that one self-driving Uber that just ran over that woman biking at night?
People run over
people.
That's true.
It was the bicyclist's fault.
For sure?
Yes.
So what Uber would say is, we know how many people get into accidents in the general public, and our self-driving vehicles are safer than, you know, general statistics, so be it. But my question is Uber responsible when it happens?
Because you're the lawyer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, someone's got to be responsible. Right. What, we want people just, like, running over people with impunity?
Oh, for sure. I think they're responsible, much like you are responsible if you hit someone.
Yeah, but so but there's a lot of things a human could do wrong, right? They could be drinking, texting, et cetera. Yeah. A computer, as long as it's doing what it was supposed to do, is it the person who programmed that computer, or
I think it depends on
or a bicyclist who comes flying in the road where they don't belong.
Yeah,
which is what happened in this case.
It would be akin to jaywalking, where there is more liability in the case of a jaywalker, right? If they get hit.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you remember the Dante Stallworth case, Denny? You probably do, right?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
That was rude.
Dante Stallworth. He killed the guy.
Someone.
Yeah. This Dante Stallworth drunk. Was an NFL player. Drove drunk.
Wide receiver for the Browns.
And he's I don't know if you follow him on Twitter. He's a great advocate and very sensible guy. Nice guy too. But he was not thrown away in jail for decades because the guy was jaywalking.
And he's an NFL player. They can do whatever.
And there's
want.
That too.
So, I mean, you know, practically and in the law more technically, we always look at, like, everybody's
who's
different
at fault?
Role, right?
And you talk about here with, like,
so here's, like, a 50-50 rule. So if you are more than 50% responsible for your own injury, you don't get to recover anything. some states are different, and they say even if you're 75% responsible, the other party's still responsible for paying 25% or whatever the issue is. Here, if you're jaywalking, you're probably going to have an uphill battle. I'm not saying that it's impossible, because I'll probably take that case at some point.
Walking around downtown, you can do nothing but jaywalk anymore because the corners don't exist.
And even if you do, I mean, even if you jaywalk, somebody in a vehicle still has to, you know, give pedestrians the right of way. So let's be driving slow enough so they could stop. You know, I mean, it's a really fact specific thing. But autonomous cars are strange to me, and I don't know how this is all going to play out, because they're going to fail many times, I'm sure, in ways that we didn't even think they could fail.
I think they'll fail 1,000 times less than people.
What about hacking, right? What if I want to hack it, and so I put a different camera feed in, so now the brain processor thinks that it's looking at something different?
What are you going to hack on it? There's no Wi-Fi or Bluetooth to it.
I don't know. But somebody will find a way.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure of it, but I'm just saying.
I like driving.
I personally hate it.
Do you?
I can do it.
Oh, my God. If I was, like, I just went to Cadillac. If I was just sitting in the car for 4 hours instead of having to focus. Now, granted, there was a drunk driver, and she did flip her car right in front of me, and I caught the greatest dash cam footage I've ever caught with my dash cam.
Wow.
But it's only because I was driving that I saw her acting a fool and slowed 30 miles an hour down to just stay behind her by a few car lengths.
Yeah.
Oh, you want it? I got it right here, man.
I'd like to see that.
Long trips, I'm all about having someone else drive.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, quick trips. I have another question for you, and I don't know if you guys had heard. I know that there was hundreds of Facebook comments, several thousand shares or vice versa. I didn't see it reported on any media sites. I tried to call my friend to get some, see if it was verified, but I think there's a bed bug issue at the mall with the movie theater.
They even have beds there?
Let me tell you some things about bed bugs. My first case ever. Was
this is what I wanted to add? Who's, my first case ever. Responsible.
Well, actually, it was maybe my second. Was somebody who purchased a bed for their kids from a reputable national retailer of rent-to-own furniture, who shall remain nameless.
Who could it be?
And they delivered this bunk bed to these kids that was just infested with bed bugs. Now, aside from a whole lot of other things that case taught me, it taught me way more than I want to know about bed bugs. Okay, number one, they cannot be killed with chemicals.
What?
They used to use
Isn't that a chemical?
So they used to use this chemical. I think it was, I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but it was known to have caused some sort of, you know, cancer or something else. I think it was called I don't know the name of it. DDT maybe?
That sounds right.
No, that's a wrestling move.
Well, that's what Opal used in that WWE match, I'm sure, but I think it was called DDT, I think. I'm not sure, but in any event, bugs became resistant to that, number one. And number two, it was proven to be harmful to humans, so they can do that. So their solution is essentially to steam them out.
You have to, like, superheat the room.
Yeah, like crazy superheat it. And it's not easy to do that. And even in those circumstances, you might not get them all. So it's like a really
I had them when I lived in Allentown. And it's, don't take this the wrong way, but it's like domestic terrorism. I had no idea what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
And they are nearly impossible. Like, buying shit at Walmart to clean them, good, but they multiply.
And they hide. Yeah. They go everywhere.
When I had them in my apartment, I never slept in that room again, even after the room was superheated.
Smart.
And when I was moving out, there were still some curtains up, and I pulled the curtain back, and I saw one. No. This is months. They're
traumatizing.
Yes.
And so the other thing is that if you have children, it's even more traumatizing. Not just because the children are absolutely traumatized by it, and it looks like they have chicken pox, but you send them to school, and they're stigmatized, and they think that everyone thinks that they're dirty, and it's just, it's a horrible situation.
I had the bite marks, but I also had, like, blotches on my arm. And I had no, I was like, did my arm have sex with the wrong person last night? So, I was wanting to ask you, what happens, like, like my apartment complex paid for that, but I could see how this could get caught up between landlord and leaser.
All the time. And it goes back and forth like a tennis match. You brought him in here. No, you brought him in here. And it just round and round in circles.
And the reason, I guess, you have to get involved is, those superheating experiments are this is not an exterminator. This is a super expensive, like hundreds of dollars, if not thousands.
That's right.
That's why the law gets involved.
And it can multiply to, let's say you have 10 units in your building. Yeah. It can easily multiply to all 10 of them. And then you have this huge problem. And so there's no really like good way to handle this situation. Just
who winds up paying in your experience?
Well, if it's as clear as the case I had, I knew where they came from. It's easy enough.
If Dennis is your lawyer, the other guy's paying, is what he's saying.
You said it, not me. I don't know. In the general situation, your lease probably should deal with this issue.
Is there some kind of insurance that buildings can buy for it?
Like probably.
Bed bug insurance?
I don't know. If there's not, I think we could just crack a multi-million dollar business, guys.
Yeah. Have you guys ever experienced them at all?
No.
No, other than this one case. But I will also say that during the course of this case, my client called me over and he was ripping his couch up on his front lawn. And I pulled up on him and he was like so traumatized by the fact that they were everywhere. They're in my couch. And guess what? They were in his couch. He showed them to me. So like it's a horrible experience.
So I have dogs. Every time like when the dogs start to shed in certain parts of the year, I'm like, oh shit, it's bed bugs. Their dog hair is everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're sleeping in bed... And like it's amazing when you have bed bugs, you can't see unless you rip everything
That's
up.
That's right.
It's not like they're crawling over your face. You don't feel like a spider.
They're like the size of like a half of a watermelon seed.
They don't fly. They're terrifying.
And last thing on bed bugs, they use thermal imaging to find out what to feed on. So they're essentially
sneaky mother
watching your heat patterns. And when you lay down in your bed and it accumulates enough heat, they all come over to you. It's disgusting. So in any event.
You know how people, like, they'll post, saw a spider, got to burn down the house. Dude, I'll take 1,000 spiders over one bed bug.
Yep. Yep.
Downtown 419.
Yep.
You guys throw...
Great transition.
From bed bugs to...
Lots of incredible events, and there's another one coming up.
There is. Danny, take it away.
So Imagination Station has a wonderful patio out behind it, right on the river. For a number of years, as long as I've lived downtown, wasn't open, didn't have a bar, and then all of a sudden this year, it's open to the public, there's a full bar out back, so to welcome them back to beautiful, new downtown Toledo, we're going to throw them a kickoff party on June 30th from 7 to 11.
I didn't know that it existed.
Exactly.
I saw you guys posting pictures. I'm like,
we were kayaking one day and saw someone tending the bar.
And we were like, are those bottles? Do you sell beer over there? And sure enough, they did. Hard right.
We got there at like 3:30. They were like, oh, we close at 4. And we were like, okay, can we have 3 beers then? And she was like, we're open till 5 now.
So
they've been very cordial.
Oh, Imagination Station rocks.
With.
Yeah.
Good.
Really progressive in thinking about doing this. I mean, they could have just left that place, you know, underutilized, but
and previously you had to go in there, like buy a pass to get into the Imagination Station Science Center and then come out. Now you can just walk right in off the whatever boardwalk you want to call it.
Never heard anybody, never seen any pictures from parents going, let's go hang out on the patio.
It used to be hot. It used to be called Portside, and there used to be a whole pool in there.
Well, a whole pool is a little bit generous.
Well, a pool. There's a pool. There's a pool. Yeah. And the more people I talked to from like the 80s, the more, and early 90s, that was the spot where Friday, Saturday night, you already knew you were going to Portside.
Yep.
Look at that.
So it'll be cool to breathe a little bit of life back into that space.
A little revitalization.
Yeah.
What's their, I don't want to say long-term plan, but after you guys wrap up on the 30th, will they be open?
Yeah, so they're actually doing some cool stuff. It'll be open. The tentative plan now, their plan is to have it open till 4 during Monday through Thursday, because that's their normal operating hours. And then Friday, Saturday, it'll be open till 9. Sunday, I believe it's open till 7, maybe.
I think something like that.
Every Friday they will have live music. Every other Saturday they are doing a silent disco, and every Sunday, or maybe it's every other Sunday, they're doing bar trivia outside.
So nothing super late, but something else cool to do.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
and obviously we'd like to see them do some things a little later, but let's see if this sparks.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So,
that's the 30th.
30th, 7 to 11.
Yep, it's the only place on this side of the river that you can go onto the river and have a drink.
Mm-hmm. Sorely needed.
Tickets available?
Yeah,
they are available.
Yep. At downtown419.com. $10. And we've got a whole bunch of DJs coming. I don't know exactly the number at this point.
We got like 4.
Yeah, they're going to swap out. They all have different styles and
Tickets are limited. We only have a number of capacity fire marshals will let us put back there. So I would say get those quick. We ran out last time.
Any idea how many people will fit down there? Like, I can't even visualize it outside of your guys' pictures.
Well, our idea is probably a little 500. Higher. Yeah.
The fire marshal's idea.
Yeah. We'll say our idea is 500 people.
Do you know how many tickets I pay for? Somehow that has to go into what your pay is.
They're usually pretty generous with us. Yeah.
Any other downtown nuggets before we wrap up? Where do you live?
Somewhere downtown. It's not a downtown nugget. I'm moving into the Hillcrest. Psyched about that.
I thought you lived there already.
No, I'm in LaSalle.
Okay.
The plans for the Marine District are
looking
incredible.
Is that tonight or tomorrow? There's a presentation.
I think it's tomorrow night, and I definitely would like to go.
It is tomorrow night. I can't confirm. It's a Metro Parks event, so I definitely know it's tomorrow night.
Danny's province.
It's long term, and it's a pie in the sky. But
I don't know how pie in the sky it is.
No, he's gonna say something.
Oh, sorry.
Soccer stadium.
I saw your podcast on that.
There's so much to do on both sides.
I don't know that Toledo's got the market for a soccer stadium.
Maybe a small one.
Like 3,000 to 5,000 seats.
Oh, that's it? Oh.
That's the size of the Huntington Center.
That's like 8. It'd be smaller than that.
One of the coolest ideas I've heard for the park in the Marina District, and I hope I'm not divulging anything that I should not, but I don't think so, is that they would like to try to use the trails as ice skating trails in the winter. So, like, using something in the winter as dual purpose. I don't know if that'll end up in the mix, but it's like an idea. And even them just thinking about that, I think, is really progressive and forward thinking. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to it because it's not like Ford Industry, which is my favorite building in all of downtown, that will finally be revitalized. Like, this is all going to be built from the ground up. Yep. Retail, residential, and ice skating on the trails.
Yep. And I think that, you know, it's like the tides, we all rise together, right? So the other side of the river is going to have to get the same amount of love, or else we're always going to be hindered. So.
What is that? Where they kept the salt?
That's gone now.
It's gone. What's going there? What is there?
Not besides salt.
A street light. Totally unnecessary street light.
Anything but salt. I'm not sure if anything will go there yet. They are doing the what's the name of that project with the water? Waterways Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing right now. They're doing a massive waterway initiative along that, just sort of on the other side of the 280 bridge, just so that they have a catch basin for overflows of water. And then I think they're going to be putting a large park over that when it's done as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if that park ends up continuing under the 280 bridge one day.
Like, we've thought and watched everything downtown, like just south of Cherry Grove, and there's so much space on both sides of the water going up.
Yeah, north side's got beautiful building stock, man. It's just that's a little bit of a ways out.
Wonder Bread Warehouse is on the come up too.
Yep.
When's that? That's supposed to open, what, by the end of next year?
I think so.
But that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And that building
huge
is
in there.
I miss that building, actually.
I'm kind of curious, as my employment continues to settle, I guess. Like, I would maybe think the Vistula area would begin to grow next, and it might be interesting to find housing over there. But that's probably some years down the road.
So, yeah, you got to just figure out how much you want to... Or, hey, man, I'm sure there's a place near me. I just have to tell you where it is.
Last thing. What's up with the lead stuff? Because I know a lot of old West End people. And I know it's kind of been paused.
Yeah. So, that's obviously a very controversial issue. The initial reason why that lead ordinance came into effect was because it was to protect children who do, in a lot of areas, especially lower income areas, suffer some significant impairments because of lead. It tends to be like brothers and sisters within the same family will all have the same type of like learning disabilities, et cetera. Unfortunately, incidentally, it affects people who don't have kids at all and are just renters in the old West End, maybe disproportionately, I don't know.
But not so much as kids.
No.
Where you're... mind is still forming.
Right.
And you go lick a wall, and then before you know it.
So what a lot of landlords said is, well, so first of all, it's not a great idea to have a month-to-month lease, but some people need to have that. But if you have a month-to-month lease, you can be kicked out within a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the big problems. A lot of people were operating under month-to-month leases, easily to terminate. The landlord said, you know, get out of here. I'm not going to do all these things that they want me to do. I'm just going to sell this place.
Because it was too expensive to do the tests.
The tests themselves, maybe not so much, but to find presence of lead in some of these old homes is almost a guarantee. Mm-hmm. Like, there's going to be some lead paint somewhere. And then once that happens, it triggers a sort of a cascade of expenses. So most people just said, forget it. I don't want to even go down that road. I'll just sell this place. The next person can deal with it. I'm out. Obviously, I put a lot of renters in a really, really tough spot. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge uproar. As of this moment, I believe it has been put on hold, the enforcement of it. But I don't think that that gets around the ultimate issue.
Do you think this should be like just buyer beware? Like, kind of like,
you know what I think?
What?
I think that the city, if they want to do this, should offset property taxes with the amount of money that it takes to remediate the problem. Okay. If they care that much about it, then fine. But if you're just going to foist this on people, it's not going
to
work.
Because I know some of the people that I talked to in that neighborhood were concerned that the landlords would just wind up selling the buildings and we would lose the progress that that area has made.
I think that's fair. That's a fair concern.
It's my favorite neighborhood in the city.
So give people a tax abatement if you care that much about it. And if mm-hmm. you don't care that much about it, let it go.
You said cities do bad things, though. Governments do bad things.
Sometimes. And they say it's because of safety. Sometimes they do good things because
go,
of safety.
Go take your gun on 475 and 75 and point it at the lead in the Old West End. Guys, it was good to see you again. Good to hang out.
Hey, good to be here.
June 30th, downtown419.com.
Yep.
Facebook page. The ad was everywhere. I think everybody saw that thing. So
we have an ad running?
The video.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I'm glad. I like that video, but I'm partial to it.
Because Right Half Media shot it.
That's right. Okay. We'll see you guys on the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
We'll
Thanks,
see you.
Guys.
Are we going to see you on the 30th?
My bartending?
No. No, you're going to show up this time?
Because you have official people. You need me for the Halloween thing.
We always need you. Yeah. We just might not need you to serve beer. We always need you.
Let me rephrase that. We don't always need you, but we want you.
Fair enough.
There we go.
Okay.
So we'll see you on the 30th.
Next Friday. Yep.
Is that next Friday?
It's next Friday.
All right, so podcast number two tonight is Bethany Urbanski. I said that right?
Yep. Okay. You got it right.
I've mentioned this this cool event. It wasn't cool until I actually read through the details of it.
Okay.
I'm like, sure. Bethany, you said you always listen to the show and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
I always want to help people out, especially the TSA part caught my attention. And then I'm reading through it. It says undisclosed, and then it says it's a fundraiser. It's an art event. You pick their people get. I'll do it in my description. Then you can do the right way.
Okay.
People are selected by raffle or whatever. They go out and choose the piece of art they would like done by all sorts of artists who you can talk about. And then after it's all done, then you find out who the artist was, thus the name undisclosed.
Yeah. I mean, that's
all right, that's it.
Pretty
that's
much
for,
it.
Thanks for I'm, coming.
We're good here?
No.
Thanks for having me.
So now do it the correct way, since I probably left out 98% of the details.
Sure. So Undisclosed is tomorrow night, 7 to 9 at Toledo School for the Arts. And it's pretty much basically that. People pay $100 for a ticket that gets a couple in the door.
Okay.
And we have hors d'oeuvres and wine and beer and all that fun stuff. But basically people are there because we have over 100 now. Local artists, they could be students of TSA, they could be staff of TSA, they could be a local celebrity. And
you didn't ask me to paint anything for you?
Next year, don't worry.
Have you seen my finger painting?
I have not.
With MS Paint? Oh,
I have not. But I feel like Cohen could help you out. Like, maybe he's got some artistic chops.
No,
I don't know.
It's all me. No, nobody does. Nobody does stick figures like I do.
I don't doubt it. So, Art Supply Depot, who we pair with, they supply the panel.
Okay.
It's a 12x12 wood panel. And the artists have free reign to do whatever they want with it. They can paint, they can do watercolor, they can do sculpture, they can do clay, they can affix glass. I mean, they pretty much can do anything with this 12x12 panel.
Wait, does it happen at the event?
No, it happens before.
Okay.
So usually around... end of winter time, we reach out to artists, mostly just word of mouth, because we kind of wanted to keep it this really cool, exciting thing that artists look forward to being asked to be a part of.
Okay.
So it's not always the same artists every year. We've grown mm-hmm. more and more artists every year. Some will take hiatus and then come back. Some are brand new faces.
How many years have you been doing this event?
This is the sixth one.
Okay.
So it's fairly new. And we really wanted to create an event that was visual art focused because it's really easy to create fundraisers around performances like mm-hmm. our music kids and our dance kids. But we really wanted to celebrate the visual art and connect more with that group of people. We wanted to really...
Like people who want to buy art?
Buy art and also create art.
Okay.
Because it's such a huge part of Toledo. I mean, Toledo is becoming...
We do it. We have a... we have the art museum, obviously. Yep. Everybody loves that. And I forget about it, but I try to speak about it when I can. We have a undiscovered, not to take the word undisclosed, but we kind of have like a percolating, potent art scene.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. And so we wanted to tap into that demographic. We wanted to bring them into the school, and I think it's worked. Every year, you know, are you going to ask me to do undisclosed? And I'm like, absolutely.
What do you do there?
So I'm the development business manager at Toledo School for the Arts. So I work in the development department. We do all the fundraising.
Gotcha.
Since TSA is a community charter school, we only receive state funds. We don't receive any local tax dollars. So we're pretty much running on 40% less than like Toledo Public, for instance.
Right.
So we have to make up about $500,000 every year to educate the kids and be able to provide the programming that we want to provide. So that's our main job in our department. And Undisclosed is one of the fundraisers that we do.
How much do you hope to raise with this one?
We usually try to hit about 10K with this event.
Right.
Each event is different. This one's a lot less work for me, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, we really just want to create relationships with these new artists and bring them into the school to teach them about the school and hopefully get them involved with it. So, but going back to how it runs, $100 a ticket for the couple. They come in and they pick out a number,
okay,
which becomes their raffle number.
Got it.
And you could be one, you could be 98. And the first couple years that we did it, it was really interesting because people would pick out the number and then, you know, they'd get a really high number and they'd be like, no, like I'll never get the piece I want. But art is so subjective that
right.
sometimes these people have really high numbers and they're one of the last ones to pick, but the piece they want is still on the wall.
Right.
You just never know. So we give you about an hour to kind of mingle
get
and
drunk.
Check out the art, get drunk if you want. We prefer not yet. We've kind of numbered all the pieces. So
okay.
most people usually pick maybe their top 5 or 10.
Okay.
Just in case they all get picked over by the time you get to pick. So at about 8 o'clock we start and we auction off number one.
Okay.
So we auction off whoever wants to be the first one to pick.
It's a great idea. I was going to ask you, what are the, I guess I now call them like in-app purchases.
Right.
So
yeah,
that
would be one of them.
So you don't let people pick number one, right?
Right, right.
So,
that one's kept out of the barrel.
What's that one gone for in the past?
So we only started doing it the last 2 years, I think. And I think last year it went for like $1,500.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so it's a big deal. And because people, once you see the art and you realize how good the art is on the wall, I mean, some of these artists do pieces that go for thousands of dollars.
Okay.
But you're paying $100 to get a ticket and you might get a piece by an artist that's worth thousands.
Or, like to your point of how subjective art is, and I'm not criticizing any, maybe it was like the lunch lady did a piece
yeah.
this year.
I mean,
and
you never
you
know.
You just spent $1,500 to buy the lunch lady's first ever painting that she did with her feet. But
right?
you love it.
But you love it.
And the school gets the money.
Right. And maybe, you know, that is just the piece that you connect with. It's totally subjective. The first three artists that get chosen, so number one, number two, number three, they then are asked to be in a gallery show in September called Disclosed.
Okay.
So we kind of had the top three artists come in to show in our gallery. We also do a Community Choice Award, which was voted on by the public last Thursday, and then also online. There's an online vote.
So people, like people who have already seen the pieces of work can vote what they like?
Right, right. Okay. So I take a picture of each piece and then I post that and people can vote on their favorite. So there's a Community Choice Award. There's also a Student Artist Choice Award. So we have summer visual art interns that come in and vote on their favorite. And then we also have the Porter Choice, which is picked by our founding director, Martin Porter, who the gallery is named after. It's the Martin D. Porter Gallery, and he picks his favorite. So all three of those get $250 gift certificates to Art Supply Depot, as well as the first three artists chosen get to show in the gallery in September. So it's really exciting. I only give people about 30 seconds to pick their piece before I go on to the next number. So you just kind of have to, you have to run.
I was going
to
say, like, what's the vibe? Like, I'm thinking tomorrow the NBA draft is also happening. And in a sense, this is a draft.
Right. It's kind of like that. So up in Petoskey, Michigan, they do an event called Dart for Art. And we kind of wanted to mimic that where...
You run for the stuff?
You literally run for the stuff. Our gallery obviously isn't that big. So it's more of like a skip. Okay. I guess
walk to, quickly.
Right, a quick walk for safety reasons to your piece, and then you pick it right off the wall, and you then see who signed it on the back. And a lot of the artists come to the event, so you can meet the artists. Some people have actually commissioned more work from them because they were so impressed with it. It's just really exciting because it's so fast, it's so quick, and just watching people like scurry for their piece on the wall is pretty funny because. You know, maybe you have a later number. So if, you know, some of your pieces get picked, you got to move to the other side of the room to, you know, go stand next to your next favorite.
Right.
So it's pretty funny to watch from a you know, standing back, I guess, watching the chaos.
You get to watch. You've created it. Now you get to watch it. Do you ever, does anybody ever like get butthurt or hurt feelings for the last person in kickball kicked?
I guess some people could, but. Again, you know, it's so subjective that you never know. And a lot of times, and my favorite pieces will change because I see them when they first start coming in. So I see them over like a month's time. And some that are my, you know, ones that stand out as I unpackage them, once they're hung on the wall, sometimes I change my mind and I'm like, oh, you know what, that one kind of stands out to me now. So it can change and you just... You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
Is it good or bad or doesn't matter that there's an art walk tomorrow night as well downtown?
So normally, I guess this year is kind of weird because June didn't start until like Friday. So normally what has been the last 5 years is that the art walk night is our preview night. Mm-hmm. And then the week after is the event.
Gotcha.
But for whatever reason, now it falls on the art loop night. I don't think it'll hurt us. I just wish that we could let everybody in from the art loop to like come in and check it out, but we don't have enough room for that.
No, I get
it. So, but I hope, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of traffic. We have our, pop combo that's going to play on Adam Street, just so that we still have some action during the art loop, but, yeah, we'll see. I don't think it'll hurt. It might help.
What's the required attire for the evening?
It's not super fancy, but maybe cocktail attire.
Okay.
People don't really get that dressed up. I mean, it's a Thursday night.
It's Toledo.
It could be hot. It's not going to rain.
It's not going to be
hot. And we have food and drink and some entertainment in the garden, so it's half inside, half outside.
Because it totally sounds like it could be like a black tie event.
Yeah, it's not, though. It's not.
I guess for $100, it's not. But it could be.
If you want to wear a black tie outfit,
yeah, I guess
by all means.
I think you know me well enough to know that ain't happening.
Knock yourself out.
I have a zoo wedding on Friday, and thankfully it's one of my nerdy friends.
Yeah.
So I'm bringing a t-shirt because if it's outside and hot, I'm changing.
Yeah.
What are, since I don't know how many people will be able to listen to this before tomorrow night, and you've probably, how many tickets are left, like four?
No, we actually have quite a few. I'm hoping for a lot of walk-ins. We have 134 pieces of art, so we can sell 134 tickets.
Okay. You should know,
so we have some left.
You probably know that Toledo is a last-minute place, and you're probably used to this, right?
I am used to it.
Well, I'm definitely coming now. It was either this, and my friend invited me to come. There's a Lucas County Suicide Prevention Coalition thing at Santastic, but I've been there before, and I can go over the weekend, and I'm very excited for how this works. So there's this closed. What other TSA stuff is coming up in the next handful of months or so?
Oh, gosh. September, the month of September, we also do a big Flying Pig Now it's the Art Festival. It was Flying Pig Music Festival. And that is September 8th this year, I think. And we have alumni bands, staff bands. It's kind of like a full TSA staff fundraiser. So we all get involved, and there's food trucks and lots of music, art raffles, art auctions, live art. It's just kind of like a big parking lot party, September 8th. So that's coming up right after school starts again. And during the summer, our kids are playing all over the place. Glass City Steel is at the library today for their Brown Bag concert.
Are they the Steel Jam Band?
Yep.
They're awesome.
Yep. So they play all the time in the summer. I'm always with them on their gigs.
I hate a lot of the junk music I hear downtown. Right. But when I see them, it makes me happy. Well, you guys can make all the loud noise you want.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can't turn it down. That's right. For sure. They are loud volume, and you can't change it.
Last question. So does Disclosed work the exact opposite way?
No, it's more just kind of what we call a gallery show.
Gotcha.
They hang their work, and the gallery's open, obviously, the whole month of September, so people can come and check it out. But there's not necessarily an event tied to that. We just call it Disclosed, because obviously their work is disclosed by that point. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in. I'm glad we can catch up. This sounds like an awesome event. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm very happy that I don't have to tie a tie.
Yeah, you don't.
It ain't happening.
It's fine.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.